Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And this summer, Cathy Donaghy, author and journalist, is joining us regularly for conversations about embracing nature in everyday life around your own home and in your neighbourhood. It's all about opening our eyes to what is in our own area. And Cathy is with us today to talk about wildflowers. Good morning, Cathy.
Good morning, Claire.
Lovely to talk to you again. And Donegal, is, as we know, is your stomping ground. So tell us and describe your immediate surroundings, where you go for a walk and what flowers you see.
Well, Claire, at this time of year, I think July has to be, it's that time of abundance and the hedgerows are laden with wildflowers and grasses. So if you go for a walk on a summer's evening, as I often do, and you just stop and you count the different kinds of even just grasses in a ditch, it's unbelievable. You know, common velvet grass is plentiful. You might know it. It's really kind of soft and tufty to the touch. But I always think of July, and I'm surrounded by woods behind me, and the woods are full of ferns at this time of year. And they've actually grown so tall. They're taller than I am now. And it won't be long till they've passed their best. But if you look at them really carefully, and this is something that I love, if you look at them really carefully, you'll see the passages made by animals through them. And it's actually a really magical thing that you can do with children, because you can, if you look through a heavy growth of ferns, you can see where the badgers and the foxes have actually walked through, which is actually really just lovely. But I think
the last time we spoke, we were talking about birds and just being a very casual bird watcher. But you were saying that you like to identify the birds with the book in the kitchen that you have on standby all the time. Is it the same with the plants and the flowers for you?
It's you know what, you can build your knowledge, Claire, and I think that's what I'm doing. It's a sort of, I'm adding to what I know in the store of what I know every time I go out, because I might see something and look, you know, it's lovely to go for your walk and unplug, but the phone is really, really handy, because there's a really handy app that you can use. It's called Picture This, and it gives you time, and if you don't have signal where you are, if it's quite remote, you can just take a photograph and then it uploads it, and it'll give you the name of the flower or the grass or the plant. And it's absolutely brilliant, because then you can go on to Irish Wildflowers, or you can go on to the Biodiversity Data Centre, and you can plug in there, and those search engines are really, really good for, you know, for telling you about the Irish names of the flowers. And also, what's a really helpful, I love this one, it's actually Ducas, the school's collection, is a great resource for looking at what some of these plants were used for as cures in the past. And if you type in even something like nettles, you know, which are, I know they're ubiquitous and people mightn't see the beauty of them, but if you type in something like that, you'll see what the school children of Ireland, what the cures that they were used for. And, you know, they have really incredible properties that make them even just worth further investigation. And if you have them grown in your garden, you know, as many of us do, we have a nettle bank along the river that flows beside our house. And, you know, the butterflies come to it in their droves. And as winter comes and as autumn comes, it's an amazing food for the butterflies, but not just for the butterflies. Like, my granny was famous for her nettle soup, and my mother is still famous for her nettle tea with honey. And there's an old cure from the folklore collection at UCD, which says that 3 doses of nettles in the month of April will prevent any disease for the rest of the year. An expert in wildflowers actually told me that you can store the seeds and toast them, and they're full of goodness. So, like, lots of these things around us, our ancestors knew how to use them, and they were potent and powerful in our kitchens, in our gardens. And, you know, they may not look the prettiest sometimes, nettles, but I think they get a hard press.
They get a bad rap.
Just magical. They get a bad rap.
And do you exactly. Do you pick the nettles?
I do, and I put gloves on, and you can put them in a little plastic, you know, bag. Yep. I mean, you know, you can get stung, but if you just wear a pair of gloves and then just wash them in a sieve and boil it up, boil them up, and add a bit of honey, and it's a great tincture.
Yeah, we would dare each other when we were small to grab a nettle. But if you just grab it really tightly, it doesn't sting
grasp
you.
Grasp the nettle.
Grasp the nettle,
yes.
And it does work.
Yes.
But
you have to
take a couple of deep breaths before you do it.
Yeah,
you know, it's
quite,
dare quite the challenge.
I think it's a good one for the kids.
Yeah, I think the gloves probably is a better idea though,
Cathy. Yeah,
we'll go with the safe one.
Definitely.
Now the honeysuckle is something that you come across as well. That's a beautiful flower.
Yeah, your listeners will be familiar with it. It's in Donegal, we refer to it as woodbine, and it's absolutely, the smell is glorious. It will actually, it'll stop you in your tracks. And for me, I will smell it before I see it, and then I'll go hunting for it, because it's kind of like, it's a really distinctive. It's almost like, it's so potent. It's like a scented candle in the woods. It's sort of a creamy, rich, beautiful scent. And the old name woodbine, which we use here, describes the sort of the twisting, binding nature of the honeysuckle through the hedgerows. I think it looks quite exotic. The fronds extend upwards, a bit like a small hand. And again, there's a lot of folklore around this beautiful plant. Our ancestors believed that if honeysuckle grew around the entrance to your home, it prevented a witch or a calyuk from entering. And in other places, it's believed that, if it's grown around the doors, it'll bring good luck. And if it grows well in your garden, you'll be protected from evil. So there was a lot of folklore around this plant as sort of preventing the evil eye or the bad spirits. Mm-hmm. But I think the smell of it is beautiful. And even if you pick a couple of the fronds and put them in a vase, there's something, I don't know, sometimes when you take the wildflowers in, the potency of the smell seems to go. It's almost like growing just in their natural state. That's where they're most, delicious to smell. And it's, I know it's tempting to pick them, but just leaving them alone and enjoying them is wonderful.
And another plant that has mystical qualities or mystical stories around it, the foxglove. And people will remember the old fairy stories where the fairy would sleep in the foxglove, sleep in the little bell.
Yes. Yeah, these are the Lusmore in Irish, and they've literally been the kings of the road around the back roads around my townland in Ballyargus. They have been just growing so tall, and they're stunning. And you can see them in full bloom on summer evenings. They're slightly going past their best now, but they're still there. They're also known as fairy fingers, ladies' thimbles, throatwort, witches' gloves. And I think I love this sort of old folklore tradition that tells us that the fairies gave the flowers to the fox to put on his feet to soften his paws, the steps of his paws while hunting. Just these beautiful traditions. And if you put foxglove again into that school's, the Duke of Schools collection, these beautiful children's anecdotes come up about what they were used for. And they were also used herbally as for medicinal purposes as well. It is an extraordinary one. Foxgloves, I know we know the traditional ones, they're sort of purpley pink, but I have seen some magnificent creamy white ones growing, and these are like queens, in the ditches. They are just magnificent.
And are you not supposed to bring them indoors?
Yeah, there is that as well. Like the hawthorn, it's considered unlucky just to bring them inside. I know some people do, and they don't. When you bring them inside, though, the beautiful petals tend to fall off really quickly. So again, for me, they're best enjoyed just outside in the ditches.
Yeah, just leave them where they're happy.
Yeah, I think so.
Meadow sweet, Cathy. Now, I think people will be familiar with this, but they mightn't associate what it looks like with the name. So maybe you describe it for us.
Yes, it's a beautiful one. It looks a little bit like the hawthorn flower, the whitethorn flower, but it's on a tall stalk. It's got dark leaves. It's actually related to the rose family. And you can see the resemblance if you look at the stems, but the flower is what you're going to know. It's got beautiful, creamy white flowers. It almost looks a bit furry or fuzzy as it comes into full bloom. And again, if you were walking up, I went for a walk just the other night after rain, and the scent of the meadow sweet is divine. It is absolutely beautiful. Again, it was considered a sacred herb in ancient Celtic rituals. And I came across a tradition that in County Mayo, it was used for scouring milk churns and strewing on floors. But, it's another one, like the hawthorn and the foxglove. Our ancestors wouldn't have had it cross the threshold of their home because it was considered unlucky. And the superstition was that if you took it into your house, that it would induce a sleep from which people couldn't wake. So again, maybe a lot of these plants are just left well alone.
We won't chance that one either then. We'll enjoy it in the hedgerows. The butterfly brush, clearly popular with our little butterfly friends. Why do they love it so much? Yeah.
Well, I think it's just, I think they love, if you walk along the riverbank or the hedgerows, they buzz around all these nectar from them. There's another one that's the butterfly bush, also known as the swallowtail butterfly. It's pink in colour. It looks a bit like a brush. People will also be familiar with the rocket. We call it rocket in Donegal. It's also known as summer lilac, but its most beautiful name is Mother of the Evening, which is just stunning, you know. Another one that calls the pollinators really strongly is the ragwort. We call them benweeds as children. They're the sort of the ubiquitous yellowy flower that you'll see in the ditches. They tend to look really nice, but they don't smell so good. They're a bit like the oxeye daisies, the tall daisies. They look stunning, but you know, they really, they don't smell, they smell really unpleasant. They're sort of not one that you would take into your vase for your wildflower collection.
The farmers aren't mad about those either, the ragwort.
Yeah, they don't like the ragwort. It's because they're supposed to be quite toxic for animals, although I think they'd have to be ingested in big volumes. But yeah, they're not so fond of them, exactly.
And we're looking forward to the blackberries coming later in the year. But as a precursor to that, we have the lovely flowers on the blackberry bushes.
Yeah, the flowers. I've already noticed the flowers coming in. If you see the blackberry, if you see the stems of them now or the brambles, you can see the berries are actually starting. And I don't know if that brings me joy or it brings me sadness, because there's that sense of we're past midsummer now. You know, a lot of the beautiful flowers and wildflowers that we see, they're starting to get past their peak. Even you notice it with the scent of the ferns. Ferns, when you pass midsummer, and you'll notice this if you're out and about, it's subtle, but ferns start to stink a bit. And, you know, so there's a sadness that comes with that. But then we have the blackberry to look forward to, and the fruits that'll come on the blackberry. But yeah, the signs of them are already there. The bilberries are actually coming they'll come first, and then we'll have the blackberry. So there's lots of beautiful plants and berries to look forward to as the rest of the summer rolls out, Claire.
Now, you wanted to leave your favourite one to last. Is that right, Cathy?
Yeah, the fuchsia. I think it is the most regal plant of the ditches, and everybody knows the fuchsia. It's the beautiful red. It looks like a bell-shaped flower, just about a couple of centimetres long. When I was growing up, we called them ballerinas dressed in crimson. And when my boys were small, they used to snap off the piece at the top and taste the nectar. So it's a lovely one for children to examine. It's just so beautiful, and it's coming into its own now. I would say September is its month, so it's definitely already blooming. It blooms from June way through to October. So there's lots to look forward to, you know, Claire. And I know that there's a blanket bog near to my house, and there are miles of fuchsia bushes growing on either side of the road. And in late autumn, when the winds come, it actually, you know, the roadsides become red like a carpet, and it's just the most magnificent sight. So yeah, I adore the fuchsia, and I think lots of people in Cork and Kerry especially will be, in Donegal will be very familiar with this one. It's fabulous.
Cathy, lovely to talk to you again. Respite from everything else that's going on in the world.
Thank you.
Cathy Donaghy there, and a listener has been in touch to mention another app that you can use to identify the flowers and plants that you come across. It's called Seek from National Geographic, and the one that Cathy mentioned is Picture This. So if you want to identify what you're seeing on your walk, they're the apps that you can use. Now, I just want to go to something that our colleague in the newsroom, Tommy Mescal, is reporting. He says the European Parliament is voting on a series of amendments to the Nature Restoration Law. A recommendation to reject the proposed law outright was rejected by MEPs by a margin of 12, but voting to establish whether the Parliament can agree on an alternative text continues. So they're not there yet with this. The largest group in the Parliament, the EPP, European People's Party, they had called for the law to be rejected outright. And we know five Fine Gael MEPs who are part of that group chose to defy the instruction to reject it outright. An amendment to adopt the European Council's position on the law was adopted by the Parliament, but it won't be clear until the end of the afternoon's voting session whether the Parliament ultimately passes the Nature Restoration Law. So you'll be hearing more about that in the coming hours. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.